And go to full screen. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, my text is John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And my title this morning is, I Wasn't Expecting That. Now, in 2007, the England rugby team travelled to play Ireland. Nothing unusual about that. But this was a very, very tense affair. There were armed police here, there and everywhere, because the Irish rugby stadium was being renovated, so they had to move the venue to Croke Park, which was the Gaelic Games venue. Well, so what? Well, the last time any Englishman had set foot in Croke Park was 1920, when the British Army, or the English Army, as the Irish would have seen it, came in with guns. We're not sure who fired what first, but cannons and rifles and machine guns were used, and there were a number of casualties. So, the English soldiers that morning, some of them had been executed, and so the English army responded by going into this huge venue with a show of power, because that's what people tend to do when there's a kind of rebellion. My grandfather, if anybody had mentioned the name of Winston Churchill, he would always say straight away, he sent the troops in. And he didn't mean that he'd sent the troops into World War One or World War Two. He meant when the miners were on strike in 1911 in the Rhondda, particularly Tonopandy, but in the Rhondda, and there was widespread violence and looting of shops and so on. The Home Secretary, I think he was then, Winston Churchill, sent in a lot of police and the troops. And in fairness to Churchill, I believe he sent the troops in to keep the peace, but it was the police who were caught up in the violence. But nevertheless, the legend carried on that Churchill had sent in these armed troops. It was a response, obviously, to the violence and the looting in Tonopandy. It was a response of the Home Secretary to crush the rebellion. Then in 1989, somebody will recall, in China, in Beijing, there were protests in Tiananmen Square, and the protesters were literally crushed by the army's response, the Chinese army response, and many, possibly thousands, were killed and wounded. Now, there's three stories at least. What's the point? Well, when there's a rebellion, there's often the response is a show of brutal power to smash the rebels and crush the rebellion. Batons, water cannon, tear gas, rubber bullets, tasers, all the open fire with guns and tanks. But my text is John 3:17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save. Do you hear that? I wasn't expecting that was my title, because when there's widespread rebellion on planet Earth, just think, you know, I just think of recently the stuff I've seen and heard on the radio and TV, just, you know, no different to any other week or fortnight. You know, cheap jokes about Jesus, blasphemy, cursing, one comedy show, things you wouldn't read in the Bible. You've got Christians sacked for suggesting that being a heterosexual is normal, and they've been sacked for so saying. And God and his word are just trivialized, even within the church. People do their own thing. People prefer to say, well, I think this. You know, just listening to some so-called mega church leaders the other day, false teachers, sadly, when straightforward questions were asked to them, questions that all they needed to do was to quote a verse, because God's answers were so clear and exclusive. You know, I remember that book some years ago now, where he said, oh, there's three possibilities. There's universalism, everybody will be saved. Inclusive, meaning Christians will be saved, but other people as well from all sorts of religions. God will let them in because he's so kind and loving. And then the exclusive view, which says that only Jesus. And I just thought, but why is a so-called Christian theologian saying that there are three possible views, and then he says which one he prefers, and it's not the one that the Bible says, which is exclusive. Jesus said, I am the way. We've just sung, there is one way. You know, people say things, these mega church leaders say, oh, but God is so loving. Well, yes, he is, but he's determined that there's one way to be saved. They say, oh, well, we don't know, really. We can't judge, but God has made it clear in the Bible. But we love to say, well, I think this. See, sin, that's the essence of sin, lawlessness. I want to do my own thing. And we love doing our own thing. We love being self-centered. Last week, a defendant is acquitted by a jury on a serious charge. And the judge says, you are now free to go, sir, with your head held high and your reputation intact. But his reputation is not intact. Some mud will always stick. Now his name has been dragged through the dirt. Okay, the evidence was flimsy and the judge just chucked it out. But why does the judge make such a ridiculous statement then? You're free to go, sir, with your head held high and your reputation intact. Why does the judge say that? Because it's just a job for him. It's just a job. He'll probably go off for a game of golf. Now it's just a job. He doesn't really care about the man whose reputation's been dragged through the dirt. Because just like me and you, the judge is self-centered by nature. And when Almighty God displays clear evidence of his existence, so often we just can't be bothered to think about stuff like that. Just can't be bothered. How many people said to me when I was first converted, and then people I worked with, anyway, Alan, as long as you are happy with what you believe. What? Either it's true or it's not. Doesn't matter, my being happy with it is neither here nor there, in a sense, is it? You know, that story I've told dozens of times, walking down a school corridor with a deputy head who I got to know, that I was going to take an assembly. As he's walking down the corridor, he's a typical deputy head. You know, pick that bag up. Where's your tie? Are you chewing? Put it in the bin. You know, he's a deputy head. And I just said to him by the time we got to the hall, imagine they took no notice of you. Imagine they ignored you as you walked down the corridor. They don't shout abuse, I swear. Imagine they just took no notice. How would you respond? Well, I'd kill them, he said. Because when there's rebellion, that's the normal response. That's the type of response. See, and here's me, and here's you. Even if I never steal or never swear, I worship me 24/7 by nature. I worship me all day long, and that is called cosmic treason. Somerset Maugham, the author, said, if I wrote down every thought, you'd think I was a monster of depravity. And so say all of us, if we're honest, surely. There was a great writer, a Christian writer years ago, John White, he said, guilt is like a flea, and conscience is the itch from the flea bite. So guilt is like a flea, and conscience is like the itch from the flea bite. But then he said, the problem is, if we even acknowledge that we're itching, by nature, all we want to do is get rid of the itch. We want to get rid of the consequences of the flea bite. We don't want to deal with the flea. And that's it, isn't it? And our rebellion is real. And it's deadly serious. It's so serious, God came here. That's how serious the rebellion is. He came here. But not to crush us. Not to crush us like all the other examples. Not to condemn me, but to save me. God did not send his son down to earth to condemn me, but to save people like me through his only son, people like you, people like me. And to save me involved the horrors of crucifixion. That's the essence of what we call the gospel. This is what Jesus did. This is love. You won't find this in Hollywood and Mills and Boone and whatever. This is love. See, the gospel is focused on the person and the work of Jesus of Nazareth, who he is, what he's done, what he's accomplished on behalf of sinners. There's an old hymn, however far from mercy our hearts are turned away. That's amazing. However far we've drifted, he's still willing to save us. Our sins are so many. His mercy is more. I remember we did a youngsters camp many, many years ago. We were all sleeping on the floor in a particular church in Mid Wales. And there was one boy, he was a bit of a nuisance all the time we were there. But one night, about 11:30, midnight, whatever it was, he had an asthma attack, so he said. And he desperately wanted to go home because he was dying, you know. And, right, okay. So I managed to find that in this church, there was a lovely room the pastor had. And he had a beautiful swivel chair, padded chair. So I propped this boy up with pillows on this padded chair. And I lay on the floor in front of him. I said, you'll be okay. I'm going to watch you all night. He slept like a log. Incidentally, he didn't stir. I couldn't sleep, obviously. But in the morning, at breakfast, when he was full of beans and I was absolutely shattered, he made this comment to me, you don't care about me. And, you know, I just felt, yeah, you know, the Lord puts up with worse than this all day, every day. That's the nature of the rebellion. We don't think God cares at all. Now, how do you react when people snub you? How do you react when people show their contempt for you? How do you react when people make fun of you, ridicule you? How do you react when people are as cruel as they can possibly be to you? What's your response? There was a fella, he was born in Puerto Rico. He was a nuisance as a child, and he was very dangerous as a teenager, and so his parents got rid of him. And he came to New York. He arrived in New York when he was 15, and very quickly he joined a gang of thieving thugs called the Mau Maus. Within 6 months, he was so brutal and such a strong character who appeared to have no conscience that the Mau Maus made him their warlord, their leader. A few years later, he heard a preacher, David Wilkerson, preaching the gospel in the street. He walked up to David Wilkerson, he slapped him as hard as he could across the face. And then he got his flick knife out and he said to David Wilkerson, if you don't shut up, if you don't stop telling me this stuff, I'm going to kill you. And David Wilkerson said, God loves you. And so he said to him, I'm going to cut you into pieces. And David Wilkerson said, and if you did, every piece would cry out, God loves you. Well, the young fella was named Nicky Cruz. He was absolutely furious with the preacher. But wonderfully, sometime later, he became Christian. In fact, he became a great servant. I believe he's still alive. He's about 80 now. He became a great preacher. But the thing was, after now he'd been converted, he walked down the street to the police station with his guns and knives and handed them in. And the policeman said, you know, if I'd have seen you come in, I'd have shot you. But there he was. He was a changed man, you see. He knew God loved him. He knew God had forgiven him all his sins because of Jesus Christ. So what's the point? The Lord God Almighty's response to the sin of Nicky Cruz was to reach out to save him. What's the Lord God's response to your rebellion and your sin? To reach out to save you. Here you are, still breathing. How many people passed away in the night, last night? Many, many people, probably 2 or 3 every second, but here you are, still breathing. Can you see how God, Almighty God, has treated you all these years? You know, I was once trying to explain this to a man I was working with, and he was obviously feeling uncomfortable, and he turned to get away. And as he turned to get away, I happened to be saying to him, you know, God loves you. And as he was turning and he heard that, he now tried to put a spurt on and get away faster. And, you know, in his efforts to go too fast, he slipped and in the corridor fell over. What a ridiculous sight. Running away not from me warning him he's going to hell, not from me warning him that God was angry with him, running away from being told that God loved him. How ridiculous, how pathetic that is. Now, I have to say, next time Jesus visits planet Earth, he's coming and there's going to be trouble. There's going to be judgment. But today, the Lord is reaching out to you and to me. What's your reaction to this? What is your reaction? The Lord did not send his son into the world to condemn you, to kill you, to torture you, to punish you, but to save people like you and me. This is love. Have you any idea how much he loves you? Have you any concept of how much he's loved you as he's watched you make a mess of your life day in, day out? What is your response to this? Amen. We'll sing a song.